We pick up our study today from 1st and 2nd Peter at 2nd Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And if you're alert enough to know that we skip the first 11 verses and wonder why, that's because you were alert enough to know we skipped the verses, but you don't remember enough to remember back to January and February. We spent several weeks on those first 11 verses. And if you will go to our YouTube page, Open Door Community, Augusta, Georgia, and go down to the playlists on that page, you will find a playlist called Habits of Highly Effective Christians. That is a series of several weeks on the first 11 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. So instead of just reviewing those sermons and repeating them, I'll just send you to them from back in January and February of 2023. Almost 2,000 years ago, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter knew that believers living in the last days would face threats to their faith and would need strategies to face those threats successfully. And in chapters 2 and 3, he talks about the threats. He says the threats are primarily first false teachers from within the church, and then scoffers from outside the church. Now, if I'd have been writing this without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'd have put the threats first and then said, and here's the protection you need. But Peter does the exact opposite. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, here is your protection. Here are the strategies that you need as you prepare yourselves to face the threats to your faith in the last days. And I think one of the reasons he gives us the strategies for protection first is because they're old school. They're not new things. In fact, in a minute when we read these verses, you'll notice that in verse 12, in verse 13, and in verse 15, he says, I want to remind you. I want to refresh your memory. I want you to remember. He's saying, these are not things you're not aware of. You know these things. I want you to remember them. And when we get to verse 14, you'll see that he basically says, I know my time on earth is drawing to a close. And so I want to say some things to you to make sure that your memory hangs in there. And that when you think about good old Peter, you remember these things that I'm going to talk to you about. He said, I want to refresh your memory. So let's pick up 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory. That phrase means to wake you all the way up. As long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I'll soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So you understand why I titled this lesson, The Challenge to Remember. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. We'll get there in a few minutes. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the threats that he does not mention until you get to chapter 2 and chapter 3, again, are false teachers from inside the church, scoffers from outside the church. We'll get to them in chapters 2 and 3. But he begins by saying, you need to remember the protection you have. You need to remember the strategies for successfully living and facing the threats to your faith that you're going to face in the last days. And the first thing he says is, you've got to remember your hope. Now, hope is one of the recurring themes of Peter's writings. And remember, he's writing to believers who are living under the reign of Nero, a time of religious persecution, political upheaval, and a chaotic world situation. That sounded like the headlines in the news today, didn't it? Religious persecution, political upheaval, chaotic world. But if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, he doesn't get three verses into his first letter before he talks about a living hope. And throughout his writings, he talks about our hope, and that our hope is the return of Christ. Yes, true Christianity is very much about living here on this earth to bring glory to God and to bring light to the darkness. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we try to, here at Open Door, equip you for living the Christian faith in your daily lives. However, true Christianity is also about life after this earth, in the new heavens and the new earth. And our ultimate hope, Peter keeps telling us, is the return of Christ. Don't ever forget that. Our ultimate hope is not the next election. Our ultimate hope is not anything combined in this world. Our ultimate hope is the return of Christ. Now, as I was in this passage, I was in a hurry to get down to verse 16, and I wasn't paying too much attention to the first few verses, but God slowed me down, and I realized that in verses 13 and 14, Peter is reminding us of that hope that we have in Christ. He uses two phrases that are very helpful to us. In verse 13, he talks about the tent of this body. And in verse 14, he said, I will soon put it aside. And those two phrases remind us about our hope. It reminds us first that our body is just temporary housing for our spirit. He calls it a tent. And that's a fairly common illustration for what our body is in the writings of Christians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we've got a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And I believe that probably this picture of our bodies as a tent harkens back to the patriarchs from the book of Genesis who lived in tents. And there's something temporary about living in a tent. They didn't dig their tent poles too deep in the ground because they never knew when God's going to say, pick up, it's time to move. And so it is a picture of a temporary dwelling place. And Peter says, our body is just a temporary thing. It's a housing for our spirit while we're on this earth. It's just a tent. And we need to remember, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And again, if you want some more information on that, on March the 12th, 2023, I preached a sermon called Strangers in a Strange Land. You'll find that also on our website from 1 Peter chapter 1. This world is not our home. Our body is just a temporary housing. And aren't you glad? Because isn't it a whole lot more battered and beaten and torn and ripped, you know, than it was 30 years ago? But the second thing he says is, I'm going to soon put this tent aside. And he's telling us that death for the believer is just putting aside the tent so we can experience heavenly life. As Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we would prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And so Peter begins this section of waking us up, reminding us that this life is not all there is. And our hope ultimately is the return of Christ. And I fear that too many Christians have gotten away from that understanding. And we need to be reminded, our hope is not in this world primarily. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is the return of Christ. In fact, Paul says, and this is a significant verse, 1 Corinthians 15:19, he said, if our hope is only in this world, the King James says, we are of all people most miserable. Yes, while we're here, we work for God's kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. Somebody said our job while we're here on this earth is to bring his kingdom to the chaos. And I like that. He has put us here to bring righteousness and peace and joy to our world. Yes, we want to bring him glory in everything we do. Yes, we want to live as salt and light. But our ultimate hope is in the eternal world. And so Peter says, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. Don't lose sight of that. Don't get so overwhelmed by what's going on in this world here and now that you forget that your ultimate hope is the return of Christ. Then, the second thing he says, I want you to remember your foundation. And verse 19 is the key verse in these verses. He says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Bible. It is completely reliable. He reminds us that our faith, verse 16, is not based on some cleverly invented stories. He says we have eyewitness accounts of what happened there. And next Sunday, we're going to be looking at why we can trust the Bible. I didn't want to get over this passage without taking a week and just giving some reminders of why we can know that the Bible is true. And if you've got friends who aren't believers, if you've got friends who are skeptics about the scripture, I encourage you to send them the link of next Sunday's lesson and maybe watch it with them. And as we talk about how we know we can trust the Bible. But in this passage right now, Peter is referencing, as we mentioned, the Mount of Transfiguration. You can read that in Matthew chapter 17. You may remember that story. Jesus calls Peter, James, and John to go up into the mountain with him. While he's there, Moses and Elijah come down and hang out and talk to Jesus. That would have been a fascinating table to be around, to listen to them talking. And Peter, good old Peter, says, I tell you what, Lord, I love it up here. It's a whole lot easier up here than it is down at the base of the mountain with all the kookiness going on. So what I would like to do, and I'm willing to do it, I'll build you a house, I'll build Moses a house, I'll build Elijah a house, and we'll just camp up here. And then they hear the voice from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I love him. Listen to him. And it says that his face was transfigured before them, where we get the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't know what that means. We don't know what it took on, some kind of a heavenly appearance or something, but something happened to the appearance of Jesus while they're up there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter says, I was an eyewitness to that. I saw that happen. This is not something somebody made up. This is not something that we just picked out of the air. I saw it. Now, if that had happened today, Peter would have made the rounds of all the Christian talk shows, all the Christian radio stations we have in our studio today. Peter is here pushing his new book, What I Saw on the Mountain, and his new tape series, Mountaintop Visions, and all of the things that I saw on the mountaintop. Because that's a pretty incredible thing, to be a witness to Moses and Elijah and Jesus talking, and then the transfiguration, and to hear the voice of the Father from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, that's an amazing experience. But immediately, Peter says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Don't miss that Peter ties this incredible experience of the Mount of Transfiguration and says, we've got something more certain than that. And that's the Bible, the prophetic message. Here's what he's saying. Experience is not the final authority. It doesn't matter what you saw. It doesn't matter what you felt. It doesn't matter what you thought. It doesn't matter what you dreamed. It doesn't matter what vision you had. It is not the final authority. There is something more certain than your experience. And it's the prophetic message. It's the Word of God. And Peter, who has this incredible vision that only James and John shared with him, is saying to you, that's not what I'm basing my faith on. That's not what I'm basing my trust on. I have something that's completely reliable. Because sometimes the vision you had or the dream you had was tied directly to what you ate the night before and doesn't have anything to do with what the Lord does for you. And Peter says, experience is not the final authority. There's something more certain. The Bible is the final authority. You've heard me say that, I hope, for as long as you've heard me preach. The Bible is the final authority. It is more certain and more reliable. It is completely reliable. You know that your experience is not completely reliable. There have been so many studies done of eyewitnesses to the same accident and how each of them saw something different. And each of them saw something that was there, but you couldn't trust them because one person said it was green and one person said it was blue. And your experience is not reliable. The Bible is certain. The Bible is reliable. More certain than any vision, more certain than any experience, more certain than any emotion. Please hear me say this one more time. Judge everything you hear and everything you feel by the Word. Judge it by the Bible. If it's from God, it'll line up with the Bible. If it's not lining up with the Bible, it's not from God. If it contradicts what the Bible says, you don't have to pray about it. You don't have to talk to a preacher about it. If it contradicts what the Bible says, it's not from God. Period. Full stop. And I'm emphasizing this to you again because Peter did. Because he is saying, you need to understand you're going to face some challenges to your faith in the last days. And you need to make sure that you know that your foundation is the Scriptures, and base your life on the Scriptures. And it hit me the last couple of evenings as I was mulling on this, going to sleep. He calls it, he says, pay attention to this verse 19. You will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place. Do we live in a dark place? Do we need some light? He says, you will do well to pay attention to the Scripture because the Scripture is a light that shines in the darkness. And here's the thing. If those of us who call ourselves Christians walk away from the light of the Scripture, we will end up, I believe, in worse darkness than the darkness of our society. Because what did Jesus say? If the light that is in you becomes darkness, how great that darkness is. So Peter says, pay attention to the Bible. He says, yeah, I'm going to talk to you about false teachers, and I'm going to talk to you about the scoffers in your world, but you need to make sure first and foremost that you remember what you already know. Build your life on the Bible. Build your life on this prophetic message that is completely reliable. It will be a light that will shine in a dark place. How we need the light. And the more the church gets away from the light of the Word of God, the darker the church gets. And we're seeing it happen in our society. Then he talks about interpretation. He says, verse 20, remember This is not the prophet's own ideas. This is not something they made up. The Bible is not just a collection of man's stories or ideas, but rather, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, verse 21. But prophets, though they were human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We call that inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally means all scripture is God-breathed. There's a book in my library called Our God-Breathed Book, the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed. It is not just another book. It is not just another holy book. It is the Word of God. And Peter, again, is stirring us up about this because he tells us in chapter 2, false teachers are always going to be there. Judge them by the Bible. And I want to tell you, in case I haven't told you recently, I hope you judge what I say by the Bible. Because if what I'm saying doesn't line up with the scripture, it's not truth. I heard a preacher one time preach a sermon from a passage from the book of Job. Now, Job's a dangerous book to preach from because you have to read the context before you start preaching on it. Because Job, after the setup of the story, is basically a series of conversations. And so one chapter would begin, and then Job said. And then his so-called comforters come up, and one chapter, then this comforter said this, then this comforter said this, then God said this, and in the middle of that, the devil has some speaking that he does in the book of Job. So you've got to be careful what you're reading. This will sound dangerous, but please understand what I'm saying. Don't take this out of context. The Bible is accurate, but everything in the Bible isn't true. Because, for instance, the Bible says, God knows in the day that you eat this, you're going to become as gods. That's not true. That's what the devil said, and it's accurate that he said that. But what he said was not the truth. You understand what I'm saying? So this preacher preached an entire sermon. And this wasn't some little, nondescript preacher out in the country somewhere. No offense to all of us preachers out in the country. But this was a well-known speaker. Preached an entire passage from the book of Job telling us, God said this, God said this. He hadn't read the first verse of the chapter that said, and then the devil said. He preached an entire message quoting the devil. Pay attention, folks. Pay attention. Make sure when you hear somebody preaching, make sure you check them out. Make sure that this is what the word says. Check it out with the scriptures. So there's going to be these two big threats to our faith in these days. Scoffers from outside the church, false teachers from inside the church. I don't have to tell you both of those are going on in our world. And so Peter says, I want to stir you up. I want to make sure you remember this. I'm getting ready to die, and I want to make sure that you remember this always. Your hope is ultimately in the world to come. It's in the return of Christ. And your foundation is the Bible. Stand on it. Not your experience, not what you feel, not what you think, what the Word says. It is completely reliable because the men who wrote it were moved by the Holy Spirit as they wrote it. And so next week we're going to talk about how we know we can believe the Bible. And we'll talk about resources outside of the Bible that give us credibility to be able to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And then in the coming weeks, we will look at the false teachers in chapter 2 and the scoffers in chapter 3. And then we'll wrap up 2 Peter when he tells us, here is how you should live in these last days. So that's where we're headed over these next few weeks. But the point today is, remember those two things. You know them just like the people Peter wrote to knew them. Our return of Christ is our ultimate hope. And the Bible is the foundation for our faith and our lives. And Lord, just because we've heard these things probably most or all of our lives, we need to be reminded. And just as Peter said, I want to remind you of these. Lord, you've reminded us of them today. And I pray that you would help us in the midst of the chaos of this world to remember that our ultimate hope is the return of Christ. And we will see you again one day. And what a great day that's going to be. And we will join in praising you for that. But in the meantime, you've given us your word as the foundation, inspired by God, given to us as the certain, reliable test of truth, the foundations for our faith. So Lord, may we not allow the skepticism, even from within the church, to chip away at our confidence in the scriptures. May we know that we have a more certain word, the word of God, and may we build our lives on it, I pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and give you his peace, now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for tuning in. You're dismissed.